of Jesus, you know that something has happened. And if there any witness here, any witness that can say that every time I've called on the name of Jesus, there's something about that name. Anybody know there's just something, there's just something about that name. Just the mere mention of that name lets you know that everything is just going to be all right. Amen. Thank God for Trey and Monitha and all of our parents who bring their kids to choir rehearsal. Amen. We only have a children's choir because we have adults that bring our children. Amen. They don't drive their own. They're not going to skate all the way here. They're not going to ride their bike. So I want to thank God also for the parents who are dedicated to make sure that their children here and being a part of our children's choir. Amen. I also want to thank God for those of you who got the memo. Might have been late, but you got the memo to wear pink today in honor of Breast Cancer Awareness Month. We also know that we have some breast cancer survivors in our congregation. And those breast cancer survivors, if you are here this morning, the two I know I won't see, we ain't told them to come. But if you are a breast cancer survivor and you don't mind standing, so we can praise God that you are here. Hey, God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Keep standing. Come on, keep standing. We want to thank God that you're here, amen, and that you're yet alive, and that we know that God is a healer, amen. Give these four ladies, come on, let's give these four ladies who had to endure, who had to go through whatever they had to go through, they're beacons of light, and they're yet still alive, amen, amen. And knowing that if the doctor tells you you got it, you're going to be all right, amen, amen, amen. Thank God for you, amen. Thank you. Amen. Turn to Ezra. Back to Ezra. Chapter 6. Every Sunday evening, Erica, I go back and reread what the Lord had me to talk about that Sunday morning. Try to go back and reread that chapter, maybe the chapter afterwards, because I want to make sure, number one, I ain't forget anything. Also, y'all quiet. Is it too cold? It's hot. It's been. Y'all all right? Trying to make sure we get out before the fair leave or something. What's wrong with y'all? Yeah, acting like we Catholic up in here. So every Sunday, I go back and reread the scripture and reread the chapter, and sometimes make sure I go to the next chapter. To see what else the Lord might have me to say, to make sure that I've got the context of what he wanted to say. Because you've got to be very careful when you're reading scripture. You can take one scripture out of context and make it say whatever you want to say. And you also can die in chapter 1 but forget that you can get back up in chapter 2. And I never want to leave you dead in chapter 1 and not raise you back up in chapter 2. Or you can be like Job, you can lose everything in chapter 1 but get everything back in chapter 42. So you got to keep... Tell your neighbor, keep reading, keep reading, keep reading. And so when I went back and read Ezra chapter 6 last Sunday, after preaching Ezra chapter 6 last Sunday, I realized there was something there that was more powerful than what I had said that morning. And I hope this thing blesses you right here and there. You're going to have to be open to what God can do. You've got to understand and you've got to believe this whole Bible. We're working. We got a new sound system. You got to believe this whole Bible. You cannot just believe what you want to believe and what's working for you at that moment. You just can't quote stuff that sounds good, like he will make your enemies your footstools and he will be your provider, because you need it at that moment. You got to trust this whole word, all right? Then Darius, the king, made a decree, and search was made in the house of the rolls where the treasures were laid up in Babylon. And there was found at Agmetha in the palace, that is the province of the Medes, a roll. And therein was a record thus written. In the first year of Cyrus the king, the same Cyrus, somebody say the same Cyrus. The same Cyrus, the king made a decree concerning the house of God at Jerusalem. Let the house be builded, the place where they offered sacrifices, and let the foundations thereof be strongly laid. The height thereof 60 cubits, and the breadth thereof 60 cubits, with 3 rows of great stones and a row of new timber, and let the expenses be given out of the king's house. And also let the golden and silver vessels of the house of God, which Nebuchadnezzar took forth out of the temple, which is at Jerusalem, and brought unto Babylon, be restored, and brought again unto the temple which is at Jerusalem, every one to his place, and place them in the house of God. Go back to verse 3. In the first year of Cyrus, the king, the same Cyrus, the king, made a decree concerning the house of God at Jerusalem. Let the house be builded, the place where they offered sacrifices, and let the foundations be strongly laid, the height thereof 70 cubits, and the breadth thereof 70 cubits, with 3 rows of great stones and a row of new timber, and let the expenses be given out of the king's house. With 3 rows of great stones and a row of new timber, and let the expenses be given out of the king's house. So I'm going to talk about this Sunday morning. Your enemy will pay for it. You see it? And let the expenses be given out of the king's house. Now this ain't your enemy's going to get back. That's how most of y'all want it to happen. You know, you want everybody to get back what they're going to get unto you. Double. But the Bible says that even your enemies will pay for your restoration. Ain't nobody believe it, Erica. That's why anybody's saying that. They don't believe this word. They don't believe this word that the Bible says that when the children of Israel were taken into captivity to Babylon, the new king said, you're going to rebuild the temple that the former king Nebuchadnezzar destroyed. And as a matter of fact, we're going to pay for it. At the end of chapter 5, the book of Ezra, we realize that a decree had been given to rebuild Solomon's temple in Jerusalem. The children of Israel had been taken, that lower kingdom of Judah, those inhabitants, beginning around 586 BCE, had been stolen, enslaved, taken to Babylon, which is present-day Iran. After Nebuchadnezzar was king, a new king by the name of Cyrus of the Persian Empire came and took over and destroyed the empire of Nebuchadnezzar and his successors. This new king by the name of Cyrus in 539 BCE begins to allow the children of Israel to go back, to leave that captivity in Babylon and return back to Jerusalem. Again, that temple of Solomon that had been built was destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar. And one of the first things that Cyrus did was to offer a decree that allowed them to rebuild the temple. But unfortunately, Cyrus died. And after a couple of succeeding kings, a new king by the name of Darius came upon the scene. And Darius was one of the leaders of what is called the Persian Empire, which is the predecessor to Iran. And the Persians took over and began to encompass the entire area of that Palestinian region. And Persia encompassed all of Palestine and encompassed all of Iran. And if the map was up, I would be able to show you 5 times. All that area that is now Palestine, Mesopotamia, where Iran, Iraq, and even part of India is called the Persian Empire. And there was a king by the name of Darius, who was the king at this time, during the period by which the children of Israel were able to go back to that region where you see that's called Palestine in the Mediterranean Sea. And of course, the most important aspect of their return was restoring the temple, restoring the house of God that Solomon had built. And this decree had gone out in 539 BCE. And by 521, there was no construction.
And one of the problems was that there was no governor there who allowed the children of Israel, the children of Judah, to rebuild. And they told the people there, the ruling forces, that it was Cyrus who had actually given a decree to allow them to rebuild the temple. Darius is now the king, and the text says that he began to search the treasures, to search the archive, to search the findings, and search where all documents had been written that would suggest to them that they had been given permission to rebuild the temple. And as I suggested to you last week, every now and then, you've got to go back in your museum of memories and find some time where God had promised you something, told you something. It might not yet have come past yet, but it's still a promise. God has already told you to start the business. God has already told you to get that advanced degree. God has already told you to move. Trying to help some wife out right now and get some husband in trouble. But once your wife decides y'all moving, maybe y'all moving. It might not come quickly, but it's coming. Amen? And so the decree is given to rebuild the house in Jerusalem. And interesting enough, after they find the decree, after they find the rule, it is then Darius, who is not an Israeli, who is not a child of the promise, it is then Darius who gives them the foundation upon which to build. Your enemy is always a part of your destiny. Here is Darius, the conquering king of the Persian Empire, but he is going to give them construction dynamics to rebuild the temple that Solomon had built. I don't know why, and I don't know what impressed Darius about the children of Israel. Maybe it was their singing. Maybe it was their praise. Maybe it was the fact that even in the midst of sorrow, even in the midst of a strange land, they still smiled. They still said amen. They still looked like they were excited to be in the house of the Lord one more time. I'm glad Darius ain't in here this Sunday morning. But something impressed them about their spirit and the fact that they stood strong even in the midst of adversity. And so he says, when you build it like this, on a strong foundation. And there it is, right after he gives them the blueprint. He says the finances for construction will come out of my treasury. The finances. Even though we destroyed it, even though we, your oppressors, destroyed it, we're going to give you the capital to rebuild it. You got to be holiness, maybe, to believe this. You got to believe in this word that whatever the enemy has stolen from you, God is going to give it back to you. And matter of fact, whether you know it or not, there are going to be some of the people who plotted against you who are paying for it right now. And you don't need to get the glory knowing that they paid for it. Just know that your restoration has come. I wish I had a witness up in here that can believe what God is trying to tell. See, you've got to understand. You've got to, again, let me say this one more again. You've got to trust this whole word. And you got to read this word for yourself. I'm about to show you something in Revelation. There will come a time where the saints of God are going to have to depend solely on the saints of God. Put it up. And the beast calls us all, the small and the great, and the rich and the poor, and the free men and the slaves, to be given a mark on their right hand or on their forehead. And he provides that no one will be able to buy or to sell except the one who has the mark, either the name of the beast or the number of his name. And the beast calls us all, the small and the great, and the rich and the poor and the free men and the slaves to be given a mark on their right hand or on their forehead, and he provides that no one will be able to buy or to sell except the one who has the mark, either the name of the beast or the number of his name. There will come a time that when the Antichrist, who is already here, becomes fully in charge of the earth, before the kingdom of God comes, that the rulers of darkness will rule all finances. And if you are not a part of their plan, ain't no credit for you. That's why we have a mission fund, that first trail y'all passed by. So there's going to come a time when you won't go down to the bank and they ain't going to say you ain't got the mark of the beast. And whether it's a 666 on your forehead or not, they're looking at your evil heart and your evil intentions. And if you're not a part of their plan, they're not going to loan and lend you any money. And so the church of God has got to come together to support one another. Now, you got to, again, if you're going to believe Genesis, you got to believe Revelation. And I'm going to show you there is going to be a transfer of wealth. And you've got to get ready for this transfer and be holy enough to understand that you got to be able to be holy to support those that are holy, because those that are evil are going to support them that are evil. You just got to look at your job and see how to... Look in your area, look in your community. Evil people hang out. You can't gossip if you ain't got nobody to gossip with. And there's going to be a transfer of wealth. Just as Pharaoh transferred wealth to Abram. Just as Jacob transferred wealth to Jacob. Just as Joseph got all the wealth of Egypt. Just as Moses, the children, got all the wealth of the Egyptians. Just as Solomon got the wealth of all nations. God is preparing to transfer some wealth. And you know I ain't no prosperity preacher. I'm not no name to claim, and you ain't got no down payment type of gimmick guy. But I believe this word. And if the word says it happened in Genesis, I believe it can happen today. Case in point last week. And I'm done. Y'all's president. Y'all's president last week decided to cut off subsidies to health care. Part of the Obamacare subsidy plan is that those persons who need health insurance, the government pays for a part of it. That's why your premiums are so low, because the premiums pay, the government pays for half of it. I know this to be true. I know how it's helped people. I have a secretary at the funeral home who went from $2,000 a month because of her pre-existing conditions under Blue Cross Blue Shield after Obamacare is only paying $279 a month. And she got everything under the sun. And it's not that she doesn't still need that $2,000 a month insurance. It's that the government is paying the subsidy, making up for the loss. It's working. And so what your president has decided to do is no longer make the government payments to make up for the loss. Excuse my friend, but what dummy doesn't understand is that there's a provision in the law that suggests, and what's going to happen is if the government stops paying the subsidy, then what's going to happen is your premiums are going to go up. But he ain't read the law. And the law says that if the premiums go up, there's another clause and another kickback to make up for when those subsidies go up and your premiums go up, to make sure that there is a contingency plan in place that if premiums happen to go up during the time of the law. So where he is squeezing on the right hand, there's going to be a balloon burst on the left hand to make up for your premiums going higher. So where he thinks he is cutting out on one side, the Lord is lifting and making up for that which has been lost on the other side. He gonna have to start writing checks. And the government is gonna have to start making up. Even when he cuts out one side, it's gonna make your premiums go up on the other side, but there's another act of the law that's gonna make up for what you have lost. And he and his government got to pay for it. And what you have not realized that this can happen in your daily life. All you who know Psalms 23, the Lord is my shepherd. He is your provider. And that's why you don't have to worry about nothing that happens at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. You don't have to worry about nothing that he does, nothing that he tries to restrain. You don't have to worry about no wall that he's trying to build. You ain't have to worry about no health care that he's trying to cut off. You ain't have to worry about no taxes that he's trying to raise on you and not on his friends, because God's got a plan. Anybody know God's got a plan? And you can't out-joke a God. You can put all the spades in your head that you want to, but at the end of the day, my God. I said, my God. I don't know about your God, but my God still holds the big joker. And he's not a big joker. His name is Big Jesus. And anything you try to take to him, anything you try to pay for him, he will. That's why you don't have to be worried about anything going on. That's all I got to say. We're going home. Stand on your feet.